Hello, and welcome back to the second hour of Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and I'm glad to have a special guest here, a good friend of mine, a longtime good friend of mine, Bert Kinnerk, kind of like Mr. Tucson to me. You're everywhere all the time.
Well, it's been a fun situation and a life's experience, really.
Really? Yeah. So let me, you have like, I'm going to call you Slash. You're an attorney slash agent slash horse guy slash this slash that. Kind of a good poker player. I'll let you say that. I'll give you that. We play every now and again, so I say that. But you've had a fantastic time in Tucson.
Yeah, well, Tucson, you know, I was born and raised in Tucson, and my dad started his cleaners and laundry in 1926, did all of the University of Arizona, athletic equipment laundry for years and years. I sat on Pop McHale's lap, and I was raised in the shadow of the university, really.
So you really dye blue and red. I mean, you are blue and red.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, and you get access to a lot of stuff that we don't. You go to practice every now and again. You probably know more about things that we will never know.
Well, I can't say that. It's, you know, it's been so much fun to be involved and so energizing for me to be around young people that are energetic, and therefore I kind of lose the sight that I'm getting old.
And a lot of those young people trust you. They love you, obviously. I mean, you have great ties to a lot of the former U of A football players, basketball players. You were Sean Elliott's agent, first agent?
Actually, no, I didn't do his first contract, but I was right in there at the close of his first contract.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of those guys, obviously close to Chuck Cecil.
Yes, yeah, Chuck is part of our family.
Yeah, person. I mean, come on, how many? That's very cool. Hundley's?
Hundley's, yeah. I've known the Hundley's for a long time. Lamont, you know, is here and very vibrant, of course, and his brother Ricky has always been a friend.
Sure. I kind of want to say who's been your favorite, but it's kind of like asking who's your favorite son or who's your favorite daughter.
Yeah, it's really hard to say a favorite because they offer so much individually in their own rights. And, you know, you get to a point, it's kind of trite to say, but you'd like to have a better person than a player, and the game is life. And thankfully, the players I've represented mainly have that in mind.
Mm-hmm. One of those crazy people is Christy Amon-Layton.
Great. Yeah, she is great.
I love her because she's just like one of the guys, and she'd kick your butt if you gave her a chance, and very funny, very clever.
Yeah, she is maybe the most competitive person I've dealt with. To the extent, Nancy and I were down to Barcelona for the Olympics, and she had broken the 20-year record as far as the 100-meter butterfly. Held the record, was the favorite to win the gold. And we were there when the race went on, and they had the Chinese, two competitors from China that had made it to the finals. They were being trained by the Eastern German training team. They were juiced, you know, they had steroids.
Yeah, sure.
They got caught in the Asian Games. Anyway, Chrissy lost by 1/100th of a second. She won silver, but she lost to a Chinese swimmer who was really on steroids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in the day, that's what it was.
Yeah, and then she won two golds beyond that. So, you know, she's a special woman.
Yeah, sure. I wanted to ask you, you're an attorney by trade, and that's what you do, and you still do. You're still active doing that. But what brings the greatest enjoyment of all the things you do?
Well, you know, I really have a lot of enjoyment, with the athletic part of my life. That came along after I raised four children, and, to the point that I really needed to be successful at being a lawyer before I could do anything else. And so that was very exciting, and it was trial work. I did a lot of work in Phoenix and, had success, and so that was really exciting, very tough work, really.
And now you must be very proud. I mean, you're very proud anyway, but you're partners with your daughter.
That's right.
How cool is that?
It's really cool. And Colleen's a really good lawyer. She practiced in San Francisco for about 4 years, walked the opposite side of the street. She was working for a defense law firm, and, of course, that I've been a plaintiff's lawyer for my life. And she's here in town, and basically put things together. It's been really good.
And you have, you and some of the other guys in town, the Whitemans and the Watsons, kind of my idols, because you guys get to do what I dream to do, is like own a horse and have it run in the Kentucky Derby. That must have been just a fantastic time of your life to have like another son kind of doing this great things with Corker.
Corker. And, yeah, it was really interesting because we brought Festine over from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arthur Hancock, who's with the Hancock family and Claiborne Farm, and he had his own Operation Stone Farm, and he bought a half of Festine and Festine's first foal out of a mare called Bottle Top was Corker. And it was interesting in view of the fact, Steve, that, you know, Kentuckians are not real enthusiastic about having somebody south of the border as a sire. And it's very unusual to have a Argentine sire in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And so we worked through that, and at first, the first foal that Festine had ran in the Derby in 1996, and yeah, that was kind of a dream of a lifetime.
And horses that ran, I think the same style, but different style, where they would be lengths behind the leaders, and then once the turn came, they would race down and snap off horses like no other.
That's right.
It was unbelievable. I don't bet those type of horses. I don't trust them to come back, and well, the pace has to be very fast.
The other side of that was meeting the people that the horses brought along. That would be Bob McMahon, the owner of the Houston Texans. He and I owned Corker, so I got to know Bob really, really well, and as a consequence, you know, followed his football team avidly, of course, and had been hunting with him down in Texas, and
sure,
really provided a great friendship.
Sure, and the horse was named after Corky?
You know, it's Corker. The Bottle Top is the name of the mare. And, of course, Corky was floating around also, so it didn't pass my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. We have this kind of connection because you go home to my hometown and north of that to hunt. So we have those stories of being in northern New Mexico and the great country that you love it.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful country. Just unbelievable. And luckily, I had a bucket list, still have one. But one of them was getting an elk, and I've gotten two in a row over the 2 years now, 2 years past. And right near Tres Piedras,
mm-hmm,
right, which is just a corner in the road and about, 20 miles to the west of that and up the mountain. Beautiful, beautiful country.
Near Angel Fire type of Taos area, that northern New Mexico field.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
What time of year is that?
That was in November. And also, Chris Del Conte was raised, of course,
sure,
in Taos.
Yeah.
And Chris and I are very close, and I've been to his orphanage, and we've stayed at his orphanage, which has now been dormant for a long time. But so on the way up to go elk hunt, I'd carry on a conversation with Chris as to where I was going, what I was going to do.
Sure, no, it's God's country to me.
It is.
Great. It's a little cold for me at this time of year, but it's beautiful, beautiful country.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break here, Bob, and we're going to come back and reminisce more about some of the sports and the people that Bert has met through the years in golfing and things like that, because he's kind of been an ambassador to a lot of the different events in Tucson.
With La Hacienda Family Mexican Restaurant. For a long time, we've talked about the many delicious Mexican dishes that we offer. But did you know we have an extensive drink menu as well? You can enjoy many classical tropical drinks from mojitos to sangria to you name it. We also have many wines to choose from. And because we're from Jalisco, the birthplace of tequila, we offer over 100 different varieties of tequila. Bring your family to have lunch or dinner with my family at First Avenue and Tangerine or at LaHaciendaAZ.com.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
My name is Sean Hoffine, your favorite peace-loving hippie with a pit bull, a ferret, and a love of life, liberty, and faith like few you've ever heard before. It's Blue Collar Radio from the heart. I will be live with you at 1 p.m. right here in the Perfection Auto Works studios at 1030 KVOI every single Sunday after America Armed and Free. We still believe here the fight for freedom is God's fight, and to fight for freedom is to fight alongside God. Pax Domini Tecum, thank you in advance for your valuable time.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030, KBOI. We have our eye on entertainment.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Steve Rivera, and this is Eye on the Ball, and we're talking to Bert Kinner. I want to congratulate you. I guess tomorrow you're going to be a busy man at the football game. After all, weren't you one of the founders of the Copper Bowl?
Yes. Yeah, Merle Miller, Larry Brown, and myself, really.
Yeah. Now you're going to be receiving the Jim Click kind of like a humanitarian award or
yes.
Citizen Community Award. How's that feel?
It was really a very big surprise, and Ali called me to tell me that I'd been chosen, and it really gave me a time to reflect a little bit and appreciate the fact that some of the things you've done have not gone unnoticed, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have you been connected to this bowl at all, helping advisory or whatever?
I would say at the very start, I was kind of a senior advisor to the degree, but they already had it going. When you get Ali Farhang on a project, he's very driven. He knows what he's doing, and he really gets the right people involved. And of course, you got John Volpe, who is a story in and of itself as far as Tucson. I've represented John Volpe.
He too is one of you, like a son to you, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. John Volpe is a very interesting person in view of the fact that he was raised in a single parent family here in Tucson. And really had a very tough bringing up. If you talk to him, he would tell you the Boys Club at that time was his way out, and went to the amphitheater, and of course was the player he was once at Stanford, set the rushing record for a sophomore in the Pac-10. He rushed 1,600 yards sophomore year. Green then came in as coach, brought in his recruits, and in John's junior year, he was a blocking back. He didn't play that much. Second string.
Yeah.
And the great story I like is the following story would be that they played at Notre Dame and John played very little blocking back type thing. After the game, Lou Holtz came over and he had reviewed the films of the year before and mentioned to John, John, you're really a great player and just hang in there. You're going to have your day. And it turns out then John got his systems engineering degree and then went on to British BC, BC Lions, was the rookie of the year. And Rocket Ismail had gone from Notre Dame to Montreal at a million dollar bonus. But, John Volpe, then we got a job with Pittsburgh and he got hurt in the preseason training.
Right. I've heard that story a number of times. He did talk about Pittsburgh because, he loved the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then one of his dreams was to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And he's almost there, really. He just got hurt.
Right. Another driven guy. You have Ollie and John and all these guys that you've been connected to, the Sean Millers, and we were talking off the air, the Michael Bates that you know. Many people in town may know of Michael Bates, obviously, the big name, but a lot of the newcomers don't know. And we were talking one of the fastest guys in town ever, an Olympian, a heck of a football player for Dick Tomey in the late 80s, a guy I covered, fortunately covered. Your thoughts on Mike Bates?
Well, let's go back to high school. Really, he ran track, I think, in 1 year, and then amphitheater was training at Tucson High School where they're going to have a state meet. It turned out that was against the rules. Therefore, Amphi couldn't run. Therefore, Mike said to heck with track. He then went on to play at the University of Arizona under, with Tomey being coach. And again, he wasn't used properly, probably. And in that context, he and Fred Harvey decided they're going to go for the Olympics. And nobody really knew Mike Bates as a runner, and yet they went through the qualifiers, made it. And in Barcelona, Nancy and I again were there, and I was representing Mike at that time. And he is in lane one, the 200-meter staggered dash. Nobody had ever won a medal in lane one.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Bates won the bronze. He was drafted number six by Seattle, went to Seattle, and they wanted to be a receiver. He was not a receiver. And I saw a play I'll never see again in my life. That would be the opening kickoff, I think, in Michael's second year. He was on the bullet kickoff returned, not the return team, but the defensive team. And Mel Gray was receiving for Detroit. He had a clean catch 3 yards deep in the end zone, came out. He was hit on the 3-yard line by Michael Bates. Fumble. Mike recovered the fumble. Seattle scored in about 12 seconds. Seattle didn't get it. They waived him the next year. Belichick picked him up at Cleveland. Cleveland activated him for 6 games. Belichick never got it. Polian was down at North Carolina as a player personnel director, and I happened to have an introduction, so I was able to suggest to Polian that he might be pretty good at kickoff returns and or bullet defense, and the rest is history, where he is all-pro defense and offense 5 years and was the special team player of the decade. And, oh, by the way, as far as kickoff returns, for a good number of years, he held the record as far as kickoff returns for touchdowns as well as yardage.
Right, right. What I remember of him, very talented, very fast, very quiet. Didn't say a whole lot. To me, he was a lot like Mike Bibby. Good player, great player, didn't say much.
But what he had to say was very concise and very to the point. Very, very bright individual. His mom was unbelievable.
Right. You know, really. She was the mother hen to these kids, the Marios and the...
Marion,
that's it. Great threesome that were heck of a good athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope that maybe if you can connect.
I'll interrupt. There's a great story about Tomey recruiting Michael and coming into Linda's house and getting family-like as he would perceive it and taking his shoes off and getting up on a table, you know. And, of course, Linda would have none of that and told him, get off the table. If you want my son, you know, get off the table.
Right, right, right. Well, there's also the story about Sean Elliott arriving on Lute Olson's team in part because of how Lute handled the Pete Williams incident when he was suspended. And when did you meet Sean for the first time?
You know, I'm just trying to think back. I know I met him early in his career as far as playing for...
Choya?
No, I didn't meet him at
Choya.
Oh,
no? Okay.
No. And Odie May, of course, became a good friend as we went through his career here at the university. And then that led, of course, to his professional career. But the story that Sean tells me, which is a pretty good story when you think about it, he announced he's going to stay for his fourth year. That was the keystone, in my opinion, to the ability of said then to schedule national television and to come up with the foundation for seating that allowed the University of Arizona to develop the monetary income that led to the program we now have. So Sean really, again, I think he was the founding member of that entire situation by staying his fourth year. People forget he stayed his fourth year.
Oh, yeah. No question. He was, there was Pete Williams, who we call the cornerstone, who kind of started the program for Lute. There were the McMillans, who were the first McDonald All-American, and then Sean, the first All-American, the real good player that he, and obviously the probably the best player to ever play for Lute.
I think so. And then he went over to Brown over at San Antonio, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And people forget also the assistant coach at that time was our now coach. I mean,
Popovich.
Popovich, yeah. Popovich.
And who's close to you? I think you're close to him too, aren't you?
Yeah. So Pop, and I'm sorry, I kind of had a lag there. But point is, that Pop then and Sean had to go to neighboring Burge around San Antonio, a brand new team, and they became very, very good friends because they're out selling tickets and doing their thing and so forth and so on. And Pop really felt, and they both had such a high regard from that experience to others. And then Sean was traded. I was involved then.
To Detroit?
Yeah, when I couldn't work out a deal with Bob Bass, as a matter of fact, who's a player manager. And so Bob Bass thought Sean was soft, and they traded for Rodman, which is an incredible trade when you think about it.
Well, that whole situation, in fact, I saw the story of the Houston Rockets. They played on ESPN over the weekend, and I forgot this story because he was at Detroit, and then he was traded to Houston for Ori, but failed the physical.
Yeah, that played in. It was really a traumatic experience for Sean in view of the fact that we were able to work out with the player personnel director of Houston, and I can't think of his name, but he really, really a savvy kind of guy.
It wasn't Tom Zinovich at the time.
Yeah, and Sean told me, he's looking, I will not play another year in Detroit. So I went to the player personnel director, indicated that if you want some value, you need to train him now. And he was kind enough to ask us, where do you want to go? I asked Sean. He said, we'll go to Houston. I said, that's good. Went to Houston, and the trade was made. Ori is exactly right. I get a call from Sean that same night that he was there. He said, Bert, your worst nightmare just came true. And I said, what's that? He said, I passed 19 grams of protein. I have a focal glomerular sclerosis, a kidney syndrome, and they turned down the trade.
Right.
So then Ori went back to Houston and then Sean went to Detroit after we had him fully checked out here at the University of Arizona as far as his ability to play this kind of problem, as well as the fact he was on prednisone in high doses and ended up at the University of Kentucky also with a thorough checkup.
So, and then a year or so later, I can't remember how long it was after that, that he became ill and became, it was right, this is before all this stuff happened, because I remember flying to San Antonio and spending a week or two down there while he was going through his surgery and the transplant.
Yeah, well, what happened was he had a year left to play with Detroit. It was worth $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
As it turned out, all the teams in the league really liked and wanted Sean, except for the fact he has turned down medically. So that was a situation which was a real bar to go anyplace else.
Sure.
Before he went to Detroit, we had a really solid doctor, kidney specialist in San Antonio, that would give him a green light to play, which he did. Mm-hmm. And so that opened the door then for Sean then to come from Detroit back to San Antonio with a doctor that would okay the trade and allow him to play. And but he played for $1.2 million. So there became a league issue. Why would you play for $1.2 million when you play at Detroit for $4 million? And in that context, we just knew because of association with Pop that things would be taken care of, although that was an unsaid here we go type situation. But
yeah,
that's what happened.
Yeah.
And but that was after that. Then he hit a winning shot.
The Memorial Day miracle.
Exactly right. Hit the shot. And after that, then it got to the point where, you know, had the kidney transplant and the various situations there that occurred medically that that he played through, really.
Right, right. No, I spent I spent some time with him, with Steve Kerr was on the team at the time, Sean Elliott, when they won the world title with them. What a fantastic – I love San Antonio, too. The food's great, inexpensive, a lot of fun covering the NBA title. The funny thing about it is, if you remember, they got there with that miracle. Damon Stoudemire was at the line, and he missed the free throw that provided him, the Sean Elliott, the three-pointer to win it. Because had he hit the shot, it would have been at least a three-point lead. He missed a shot; it was a two-point lead.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, because I just remember seeing that that replay about 2 months ago on ESPN. This world of magic of TV, you can see all these games, and I had forgotten. And Damon, who hit free throws like clockwork, missed the free throw. So it's all kind of connected to Arizona.
And Sean, I can still picture frame it where Sean was kind of falling out of bounds.
Right. Half his foot was off, out of bounds, up.
Yeah,
the heel was
right,
up.
Right.
Yeah, no, what a great shot. What a great guy, too. I mean, you've been associated with some great guys, like the ones we've mentioned, the Cecils, down to earth, a good dude, could kick your butt on the field, but a good dude, if that makes any sense. Sean, great accommodating. He had to learn how to say no to people because he said yes too much. I wish I could get him on the show, by the way. Hint, hint.
You know, he is the voice right now.
Yeah, I see him all the time.
The Spurs, on TV. And he's Mr. San Antonio, really.
Yeah.
everybody loves Sean. He has a wonderful family, wonderful wife. His children right now are really turning out to be really good athletes.
So, he looks the same age. Yeah. He doesn't age. He's got that face like a baby face.
That's true.
I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. Here I look like I'm 80, and he's looking like he's still 32. You know.
Yeah, and he's such a kind person, as you said before. You know, he has a hard time saying no, but then again, his kindness and his love for people just really emanate. And when you talk to him, you're looking at a real sincere person that really enjoys life.
Yeah, you know. Okay, Bob, let's go to break, and we'll talk more about the good old days with Bert Kinnerk after the break.
Hey there, sports fans. Everyone knows that pizza is a game day tradition, and Tino's Pizza has been feeding fans across town for 34 years. Family owned and operated, Tino's has your game day covered, from scratch made pizzas to wings. You can dine in or swing by for pickup, and delivery is available too. For game day and every day in between, Tino's Pizza is ready to serve at 6610 East Tankerverde Road. Call them at 296-9656 or check out their menu today at tinospizza.com.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
When you see a bicyclist, remember, cyclists are friends, neighbors, and family members. From the Tucson Police Department, here is Chief Chris Magnus with a life-saving message for all motorists.
Every year in and around Tucson, bicyclists are hit, injured, or killed. Arizona law requires that you must give at least 3 feet of clearance when you pass a cyclist. Safety is everyone's responsibility. A moment's distraction can be a lifetime of regret. Give cyclists at least 3 feet when passing. It's the law. Brought to you by Look, Save a Life.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. Tucson's diversity is celebrated in Mark Bishop's Morning Affair from 10 a.m. to noon on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on news.
Welcome back. I'm Steve Rivera, and this is Eye on the Ball, and we're talking to Bert Kinner, a longtime sports guy in town, attorney, slash. He does a lot of different things. You've handled a lot of people. Larry Smith was one of your clients.
Correct.
When he was not here, but somewhere else.
Yeah, he is signing up in Missouri after having been fired at USC. At SC after losing in Fresno State. You lose it to Fresno State at SC, you're gone, you know.
Yeah, not so much now because they've been losing a lot lately.
That's true.
And they're keeping their guys. Probably too expensive to let go.
Right.
How has that changed? We'll go back to Larry Smith, but the world of coaching and money, because you could be horse poop and still have a job because they can't pay you all this money to pay you off.
Well, it's really interesting to see the backlog of schools that have to pay coaches to get a new coach. And look at ASU with Erickson.
Mm-hmm. Here with Richrod. I guess they had to pay him six.
Correct. So they're carrying forward these numbers that are really, when you think about it, a little bit outrageous, I believe. When you get into a situation where you have coaches being paid in seven figures, you know, you really have to take a look at things and to the point that are we really having a sport that is valued by student athletes and for that reason they have a great career? Or is it something other than that? And I think that with Title IX responsibilities and things like that, that we've gotten into an area. Now, when you start paying coach several millions of dollars in assistants and you have the number of assistants we have, it turns out to be a different type of situation mm-hmm. and subject to various things that that we hear about.
Yeah, and the assistants now are making 300-plus to do their job. Yeah. Let's go back to Larry. I wanted to have his family and Cheryl and Ali here during the ASU week because he was a competitive guy.
Really?
Tell me how competitive it was and how big was that game for him, the ASU game?
Oh, the ASU game was the key. And basically that proved out as far as what occurred when he was here coaching against ASU. And that was the game, and all the players understood that from the beginning. And yet they played with a lot of confidence, and they were not afraid. There's no fear factor, but they had a lot of confidence, and we played extremely well every time, you know.
Yeah. How was it representing him and just the person that he was?
Yeah, and we were more than that. We were family. We used to go to Lake Powell a lot, and we used to have a lot of fun together. And one of my favorite stories would be the Notre Dame game in October 1982. Notre Dame had not lost a game. They'd beat Michigan, Miami, and Arizona plays them up at Notre Dame. And of course, we're off the desert coming into Notre Dame, packed stadium, the entire shot. As it turns out, we had a young kicker from Chino, California by the name of Max Zendejas. At that time, he was a freshman, 18 years old, weighed 145 pounds, you know. And, the game raged on, and I did a blog on this, as a matter of fact. It's under, the Burke Kinnerk files. You can take a look at it if you'd like to. But it's really pretty well done, I think. And so the game went on. Zendejas hits a 48-yard field goal, no time on the clock, into the arms of touchdown. Jesus being the facade they had in the north end zone on the five-story library. And that was the game. And after the game, the kid that gets paid to catch the ball and take it back to the system brought it to Max and gave it to him, and I happened to have a field pass, so I rushed out and gave him a big hug, and UPI took a photo that went viral, went internationally and everything. I had a hood, actually a jacket that Ed Thomas, the equipment manager, gave, because I'd freeze my butt off. Uh-huh. I didn't dress right. But anyway, as the story goes on, and then they played, the Notre Dame band played the Arizona, you know, Bear Down Arizona, because there's no room for the Arizona band in the 59,400 seat arena, and that was it. Interestingly enough, just to get out of the cold, my brother-in-law Bill Polson and I went into an alcove next to the visitors' locker room, and all hell broke loose during halftime. We are not in the room, and Larry did not give the halftime talk. It was our linebacker coach, Midwestern coach, ex-Marine.
Jimmy.
No, he was Larry's linebacker coach. I'm dropping his name.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, so about 3 weeks later, I mentioned to Larry, "Larry, you did not give the halftime talk. Was that all?" He said, "Oh, you didn't hear that. I didn't tell you the story." I said, "No, what?" He said, "When at halftime went in, and Max was in the shower. He'd quit the team. And the coach said, you better talk to Max because he just quit the team." So I spent the time explaining. We passed two field goal opportunities. I had to tell Max why and explain to him why he didn't get the chance to kick the field goal. Max did then put on his uniform. Max then did go out to the field. And then Max, as a freshman, did kick the winning 48-yard field goal.
Well, see, I'd never heard that story. Has that been published?
In my blog, it's published.
I'll have to start reading that blog.
No, yeah, it's the Bert Kanerk files.
Good,
yeah.
Information. So all this, let's go back, maybe talk a little about Smith later, but you've been through some huge games over the years. What are the more memorable ones?
I can remember, and recording in my memory, especially after this ASU game, it's Teddy Bruschi's last game. And he's a senior. He just tied the sack record. Derek Thomas has a sack record. I think it's 54. And Teddy was not going to a bowl game that year. We're down 2 touchdowns at ASU, night game, and 7 minutes and 28 seconds to go. Arizona fans are leaving to go home. And Teddy takes his helmet off and gathers the team. And they go back out. And here we go. And all of a sudden, we need a field goal to win the game. With 20 seconds left, and we hit it. The transfer kicker from Thatcher JC came on and hit the shot, and again, I'm losing her name here, but I'll think of it again, but hit the field goal, win the game. So it was the exact opposite of this year's game, right, as far as us winning the game when you couldn't win it. 2 touchdowns, 7 minutes, 28 seconds, and Teddy Bruschi really was kind of the key in that game.
Right. Does Larry McDuff come to mind? Was that the guy? Was that the
no? That was not the linebacker. He was an offensive linebacker.
Larry was not here at that time because he was with Dick Tomey.
Rogerman.
Yeah,
Coach Rogerman.
Rogerman. Okay.
Rogerman gave the halftime talk at Notre Dame, and they were crashing a desk. You know, it was just a big hurrah. And this is an ex-Marine giving Tunnicliffe, the quarterback, as well as Huntley, our All-American, college All-American.
So you could list about 20 ASU U of A games that have been crazy.
Crazy. I mean how about Chuck Cecil?
Yeah, Chuck Cecil.
And Chuck Cecil lining up his last year. He's playing for Dick. And ASU had a punter that was a world-leading punter. Mm-hmm. And his coach put him on ice, called a timeout, and snap, drops the ball. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Chuck is right there, and long story is that we kicked a field goal, tied him, and would have won the game. We kicked off after kicking the field goal and tying the game, and we ripped the ball off, went for a touchdown, but that time it was a dead ball as opposed to the pros and high school. But it was a now
point of spot
ruling.
Point of spot.
It was today's ruling. We would have won the game.
Yeah. So bringing back Bruschi. Another one of those fabulous guys that you were able to kind of get close to.
Yeah, Teddy really was so organized in his thoughts and very self-confident without being overconfident. And representing him from the start with the workouts that he had leading to his being drafted was a really interesting experience in view of the fact that he was not the prototype linebacker for the NFL. Mm-hmm. He was not 6'4". He was not 250. And yet, his times and what he did in the individual tryouts was amazing. At one time, there's 3 scouts, individual workouts. They did a agility test. They timed it. He did it once. They wanted him to do it again. Second time, they got it. They couldn't believe their time. And, they wanted him to do it a third time, and Teddy said, no, you got it. He also vertical. Went 39 in the combine, which is unbelievable for linebacker. But he went 39. Mm-hmm. 39, he could dunk a basketball two-handed standing still.
Right. No, one of the proud guys that you must be, one of the guys you must be proud of. You look at Sean Elliott, Chuck Cecil, Teddy Bruschi. You probably still contact. We met him. I saw him, Anthony and I, a few months ago when they had the tribute to the one of our guys who just passed away from ALS. Warner Smith, and Bruschi looks like one of us, just a normal dude. He doesn't look like one of those big crushing linebackers. He's just a normal good. And you must be very proud of what he's done with his life on TV.
Yeah, he's been really significant there as well.
He's really good.
And also beyond that, that the game is life, and they really are better people and persons than they are a player. Mm-hmm. And they they prove that out.
Yeah, here I'm talking to Bert Kinnerk real quick. Tomorrow, is this going to be a halftime ceremony for the Jim Click Spirit of the Community Award?
I understand that, yes.
Yeah, and you and Nancy are going to be out in the field? And
I'm not too sure who's going to be out there, but something's going to happen.
Yeah, they're going to probably give you something that's pretty heavy. If you need help, I'll be right there for you.
Yeah, I'll need all help I can get, I'm sure.
You must be proud, too, that the Copper Bowl started this whole thing. Went to the insight.com, or was that right? Or the Lock Bowl, or what was the first
Copper Bowl, we got the franchise, so to speak, in April. We were supposed to have the game.
88, 89, something like that?
89. We're going to have the bowl game without a sponsor, without TV, in December. And we got to the scratch line. We didn't have either. And the Cavalry came in by way of Don McGuire with Turner Broadcasting Sports, took it over. And Don McGuire, to his everlasting glory, is one of my best friends and really just saved us. Don McGuire was one of the founders of the Golf Channel, and he was the CEO of the Golf Channel at Turner Broadcast. He's done four Olympics, and I talked to Don, you know, maybe at least five times a month.
Uh-huh. And that was a great event for a number of years. I mean, I remember the gifts. Way back in the day, this is like almost 30 years ago.
Well, you know, the thing that really played out is that, you know, we had two great Venture Forth resorts to go to. You know, we had La Paloma, and then we had the El Conquistador. Mm-hmm. And really, the teams were sincere in saying that this is the best experience they've ever had. You know, a lot of teams had not been to a bowl game in many years. Kansas State, for instance.
Right,
Snyder
right.
came in, and they had not been to a bowl game, I think, in 15 years. And right. here we go with Snyder coming in with their team, and they brought 21,000. There were no rooms.
And you put them up in a nice place and give them this great weather.
And terrific weather.
Yes, yes. Let's go to a break for our final segment. Thanks, Bob.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
I was searching for a way to stop using drugs. I reached out and found Narcotics Anonymous. I went to my first NA meeting and didn't know what to expect. Supported by recovering addicts, I realized that I was not alone. I heard them talk about feelings that I was afraid to talk about. And recovery from drug addiction, something I was afraid to dream about. It is possible to stop using drugs.
Call Narcotics Anonymous. We can help. 881-8381. That's 881-8381.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. The man and the legend, John C. Scott on politics, from 3 to 5 p.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
And now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Steve Rivera, and this is Eye on the Ball, and we're talking to Bert Knirr, who will be awarded the Jim Click Humanitarian Community Award /... You've done so much. We need to talk about a book here, Bert. We got to talk about a book. Well, your blog might be the book.
Yeah, well, you know, I've thought about that. I just, I'm still pretty active right now, Steve, you know, on what I'm doing with the law firm. And, yeah, I'll find some time.
It's funny. You have this bucket list, and you've already done more than I could even dream of. What's kind of next? What do you have left?
Okay, I got one thing which came to mind kind of crazy, I think. I want to go 165 miles an hour. So I got that lined up, I thought. And my brother, you know, is a very well-known car driver, and he was really good. But I'll get that done, I think.
So where you plan on doing this?
In Las Vegas.
Oh, on the racetrack there.
Yeah. They have a guided, you know, here you go with a professional.
Nancy must really love you or really think you're crazy.
Both of the above.
Well, which is fortunate because you've been with her 57? 57 years. Wow. Wow. You know what? I got to get back to your house to spend some time in the not the guest house, but the game room.
The man cave.
The man cave. Yeah. What a fantastic place. I saw it when it was kind of still being worked up.
Yeah. It turned out really, really, I'm really proud of it. And, you know, so it's been a nice retrieve. And, you know, we had Chuck Cecil stay with us in the house next door, where Chuck was there. So Chuck and I had a chance to
kind of spend your time there.
Watch some events and really have some good thoughts.
Right, right. Let's kind of go back to some of the games. So you talked about the Notre Dame game. We realized it was Jay Persoon.
Jay Persoon, that's right.
Jay Persoon, thank you.
Really,
thank you.
Really. And from Thatcher JC. Mm-hmm. Wins the ASU game.
Right, right. So any ASU game, pick a game. Maybe the ASU game a few years ago when Arizona, I think it was at Zendejas, couldn't kick an extra point or got some blocked.
Yeah, that was Max's nephew.
Yeah,
by the way.
Who would imagine all those miscues? And then but it's an ASU game, so of course it happens.
I had a son up in Phoenix watching the game. That is the game you're mentioning where he missed two extra points. Mm-hmm. So he jumped out of bed, landed on one of his children's toys, and broke an ankle.
Well, there goes calamity is at its best.
That's right.
Yeah. So were you there in Indianapolis when they won the title? I'm sure you were. How was that?
It was kind of an out-of-body experience type situation, really, to have that happen. And realizing that we didn't have Miles Simons the first part of the season, he was ineligible because of academics, and then have him go on to play, and then have us, I think we were fifth place in the Pac-10 that season, and then beating three number one seeds to win the title was, and being at the game, and then playing the game, really, people forget this, right next to where Kentucky was home. I basically, Lexington is not that far away from Indianapolis, really.
Sure, sure. That was just a big family reunion because Elliot was there, Steve Kerr was there, all the guys were there watching something they couldn't pull off. And I'm sure, I don't know if this is going to be debatable between you and me, some of the best teams, 88, 2001, 97, and you might pick a team in there somewhere in between. Who was the best team? I'm sure you might be loving the 88 team.
88, yeah. The 88, I think, was as good as any. Of course, at that time, being brand new to the higher level.
That's the first
playing,
born. The first born.
That's
of
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had some of your best guys, Elliot, Kerr, McMillan, A.C. Cook, Lofton, Bushler.
Kenny Lofton.
Yeah, yeah.
Who would have thought, right?
Who would have thought? Tell me about Lofton, because weren't you close to him as well?
Yeah, I had the occasion of having Kenny basically in my office, and we were looking at a shoe contract for him. And basically, we were talking. He really lamented the fact he wasn't playing in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
And was really kind of upset about the entire situation of the system not allowing him to play in the NBA. And I really was able to have a heart-to-heart saying, Kenny, come on now. you're getting $150 a day per diem to buy a hamburger. You're 3 days in a city, and you're enjoying yourself as opposed to 82 games. You start in October with a camp, the entire thing. The playoffs run, they run through June, and you're playing baseball, and you're complaining about playing. Come on, get real.
Right. It's funny because part of the book, and Sean, not Sean, Lute would talk about that during Kenny's chapter, and he says, Kenny would complain about playing. Kenny, you've had a Hall of Fame career, and you're still complaining?
Yeah, in baseball, think about it. It's guaranteed 3 days in a city. You aren't jumping on an airplane with your adrenaline going crazy and various distractions that do occur. And, so baseball, isn't that the game, really, Steve?
Sure, sure. And who would have thought, obviously one of the more talented players to ever come through, Brian Williams being one of those guys, too. But Kenny, all you had to do is put the bat on the ball and run.
Run. And you don't teach arm. You don't teach arm, do you?
No. And
you don't teach speed.
And then all the coverage he could do in the field?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. So who are the better athletes that you've seen? Athletes, just pure athletes. We probably mentioned them. Kenny Lofton? Michael Bates?
Michael Bates probably is the best, I would say, really. And then, you get Teddy Bruschi, as I mentioned, goes vertical, 36 and 39. And he was a down lineman, tied the sack record, right? So they draft him, mm-hmm. put him at linebacker. He had never been an up defensive player in his lifetime. Mm-hmm. And he goes from a down linebacker tied into a defensive end to being, one of the world's best linebackers, really.
Right, right. Who else? Hundley? You're Brian Evans, the guy you talk about?
Byron Evans was, by reputation, the hardest-hitting linebacker in the league when he was the quarterback in 1991 when Philadelphia had the regular season league defensive record, which they set in 91. They had Jerome Brown, White, Andre Waters, Byron Evans.
He was at the center of that.
Yeah, that's right. And Buddy Ryan was the coach, and they Byron Evans was an unbelievable player. Think about the ASU games. Talk about the ASU games. Byron Evans was in two winning games in his play.
Mm-hmm. Who else during your time? Khalid Reeves, Damon, all those great teams, even 97, who no one would have ever thought. Then Mike Bibby shows up. He kind of leads that team with Miles. It's just fantastic. Then you have some Richard Jefferson, Luke Walton, those guys.
How about Arenas?
And by the way, yes, Gilbert Arenas. A pain in the neck, funny guy, but a heck of a player.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And he's here 2 years and would have been player of the year. Nobody really recognized him. He was not drafted, per se. He goes to, Oakland?
Oakland in the second round.
Free, yeah. Mm-hmm. And free agent signs it, and then signs a $66 million contract his second year.
You weren't with him, though. He was not. No. I knew that he was disgruntled. Obviously, he didn't play a whole lot his first year in Golden State. They kind of missed out. And then all of a sudden, he turned into Gilbert Arenas.
That's right.
Agent Zero.
Yeah.
And this kind of media phenomenon. And then he gets in trouble being Gilbert Arenas because he's a knucklehead.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. And you have people that really, it's too bad, when you think about it, really, Steve, that so many players come out without anything. And it's just a mismanagement type situation where people take advantage of a young person that makes that kind of money, and that young person is not properly advised, and they come out, with tax problems and various other problems.
And he made a lot of money. I think he's doing okay, just still kind of on Twitter and doing all these crazy things. I'd really like to talk to him again. A lot of fun to talk to because you never knew what he was going to say.
That's right.
Yeah. And congratulations on your weekend thing, the Jim Click Spirit of Community Award. We'll see you tomorrow in what won't be that cold. We'll be okay.
Okay, Steve. Thank you for having me. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you, Bert. Good to see you, and we'll see you next week.
Okay.